in the idea of prophecy repeating itself, that's why it's important to remember God answering prayer, because what you're showing is a repetition of God's faithfulness, aren't we? I love that. The repetition of God answering prayer is exactly what we need to see, isn't it? I mean, you speak up and tell me what God did for you, and you speak up and tell me what God did for you, and then I speak up and say, all of a sudden, we've got a hallelujah meeting, so to speak. A real one, where it's not built on emotion. It's built on, here's the faithfulness of God, and he has healed my heart, opened my eyes, you know, opened my ears, caused me to walk, put his hands on me and healed me. That's pretty cool. I want to remember that. That's why we've got to be able to acknowledge God answering prayer. And so that in itself, I noticed that in the Bible, not just in the Bible, in the story of God, in prophecy of God, that is the power of the Lord repeating himself over and over and over again. The Bible is the same story told over and over again. Why? What do you think? To keep it in remembrance? Love that answer. What else? Part of prophecy? Yeah.
A continual witness of God's faithfulness
to many generations. Makes sense, right? You can't forget the generation part, because God showed up in this generation and was faithful, and he showed up in the next generation and is faithful, and the next generation he's faithful. You just can't stop God. So when do the generations end? If God's a father, do you think of a good father that can bring forth as a creator will ever stop creating generations to come forth? God will birth sons and daughters of God, and he'll expand his family. Isn't that awesome? I love that. And therefore, prophecy is going to continue to repeat itself in all of these situations. But, you know, let's talk about this for a moment. And this is what I want to do. Prophecy is built upon two very important principles. Two very important principles. And we've talked about them all day, talked about them last week. So I'm just going to mention them again. Two very important principles that prophecy are built on. Number one. The first thing is that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, right? We know this. It's built on God testifying of his son. So, Megan, if he put you in the spirit of prophecy or put you in prophecy, what does that mean? He put you in the testimony of Jesus, his son. Now, that's cool. So what did that do for you? If you're put in prophecy, Nancy, God put you in his son, Jesus, and now you're from beginning to end. Because the second principle that is so profound when it comes to prophecy is that it was and is to come. So the testimony is of Jesus, and the testimony is past, present, and future, and never ending. Had no beginning, has no ending. So does the testimony of Jesus continue at all times? And you may say, would God ever let the church fail? Will you tell me, from beginning to end, does it ever stop? No. Now, because, Julie, if you thought no, that he might let the church fail, he might let the general population of the church fell, but there will always be a remnant of someone who is faithful, who is the church. God will never let that fail. You know why? Go ask Noah. Go ask Noah. Did God let it fail? No, no, no. He won't. Go ask Abraham. Go ask David. Go ask anybody. Ask Gary.
He won't let it fail because there'll always be a faithful word of prophecy, and prophecy in God will never fail. Among men it will, but in God it never will. And God's always in remembrance. So here's my question. If God breathed his breath into you, Marty, into you, JM, into you, Mike, if God breathed his breath into you, is there a remembrance of God among men? So will there be somebody that will remember the kingdom of God and the living God and the testimony of Jesus and always be there to bring it forth? There will. See, don't ever forget that, okay? Don't ever think that God would let his church fail. It won't. I don't care what the world looks like. I don't care what the government is trying to say to us and what side and which part and all of this is going after the church. Look, if there ever was a time in the Bible that was bad, it was Genesis 6. The imagination of man became continually wicked at all times. Enough to make God flood the earth and save a remnant, that was pretty bad, wasn't it? It was also bad in Sodom and Gomorrah. But then there were others that were worse than them. There were wicked men and rulers of Israel, wicked women. God still never let his prophecy fail, did he? He just wouldn't do it. So among men, here's why. Did God create heaven and earth? Or did man come up with that? Or some atomic bomb? Or whatever? Big Bang? Is that? One guy said, well, then who created the Big Bang? I mean, you know. Okay. So where was God was in the beginning of it all. Let's just put it that way, right? So if you believe the Big Bang, well, there's somebody had to create that. Okay, so here we go. Point is, the earth belongs to God, Micah. So do you think God's just going to disregard his creation and say, forget about it. Forget about my people. I'm tired of it all. Let's just give up. Nope. See, here's the thing about God. God is about covenant. Now you got to remember this. God is about covenant. He makes promises that he refuses to break. So that means, could God scrap everything and start over? Well, he could, but he won't. Why? Because he made a promise. He made promises that he would not forsake what he created. Marty, that blows my mind, man. We know people lie all the time. See, God can't do that. God makes a promise and he keeps it. And that's awesome. So will we ever lose hope? Does our salvation ever fail? No. If it does, the only reason is because we just refuse to join ourselves to the God that cannot lie. That'd be the only reason. And even then, you think you're going to die and escape salvation? Nope. God is so just that he'll take your spirit and deal with it. So deal with it here, deal with it there, whatever. God's going to deal with it, right? Because God is faithful. God loves his creation. So he's not going to let prophecy fail. And it has to repeat itself to continue in our generations. And we've talked about that, right? Something that I find very interesting. Now, the connection, and I mentioned this last week, so it bears repeating that I'm going to do that, even for the sake of repeating myself. It bears repeating that if you have a Bible somewhere, Marty, that Bible has to come alive to you. Otherwise, you won't join yourself to it. Have you ever felt like, I want to read the Bible, but I can't? Like, we say we can't, but we're not connected to it, is what the problem is. Is we don't have desire for something we're not connected to. This is why the parable of marriage works so great. You get connected by love and connection and emotion and attachment and words and thoughts and all of the unions that come with marriage, or friendships, or a church group. It doesn't matter. We connect ourselves to all kinds of things. When you connect yourself to the Bible, you're connecting yourself to the story that God started. So the story starts with His Word. His Word's the story. His Word is who He is, right? So, okay. So how do we connect? What did I say last week? Was, is to come. What connects the future with the past? Jesus, who is all three. But He connected Israel of old with us. Remember when I said that? How did we do that? Well, Israel was the people of God, and God spoke to His people and put His Word in them. And then He said, well, they failed. It's true, they did, didn't they? They couldn't be obedient because of the flesh. So He brought Jesus. What was Jesus compared to the old Israel? What was Jesus? The new Israel. Okay, so in Jesus, He made everything old new. So everything born after that is what? Is new. So if Israel was God's people and He brought to Jesus and Jesus said, well, I tell you what, I'll include Gentile and Israel and put them all together as one new man, one new body. Everybody born after that is that one new body, right? So what does that make us? New. But what else? If you have the old Israel and you have the new Israel, what does that make us? We're joined with Jesus. We're what? The new Israel. So we're part of the Christ, aren't we? So I want to introduce an idea to you today, okay? Abraham was the connection. Abraham was the connection that God used in the Old Testament. Well, you say, well, it started with Adam. True. Did Adam fail? Yes. He went to Noah, flooded the earth, started the same covenant he started with Adam. He started the covenant with Noah. Did that still itself fail? Because right after Noah came the Tower of Babel. God had to scatter it all. So with Adam, He had to flood the whole thing. After Noah, He had to scatter it. He didn't flood it, but He scattered it now. So He divided man. Well, right after that, who did He raise up? Abraham. And so think about Abraham. It's the story of Abraham. Did God give Abraham a law, Brad? What did He give him? Faith. Faith and promise. There you go. So He didn't give them just a law, did He? He gave them faith and promise. Now, this is Old Testament stuff. He gave Abraham faith and promise. Then it went to Moses, and what did he have to create? A law. But faith, law. Faith was first. So it's like when the law came, everybody started living by the commandments, and what did they forget? Yeah, they forgot the promise of faith. So Jesus comes in the New Testament, and now what's He going to fulfill? He's going to fulfill faith and the law. So He fulfills all of it, right? So to the point that I want to make here is that when Jesus shows up, He blows everything out of the water. He comes in a manner that teaches everybody you're going to live by faith from the heart. You're going to learn to love God. These rules that you follow, they're not going to be rules anymore. You're going to love God. You're going to love the Word of God. It's going to restore you and put you in the family of God. You're going to be born of God. And He's going to start showing how that in this prophecy, He's going to go back and show you what failed and what works. And so here's my question to you right here. in prophecy, are you paying attention to what fails and what works? That's my question to you. Are you paying attention to what fails and what works? Why do you think you struggle with wanting and desiring to read the Bible? Based upon what I just asked, have you noticed what fails? Matter of fact, Dave, pull up Hebrews 4. Let me go there. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest and of you should seem to come short of it. Well, who's he talking about? Let us fear because we're watching Israel's example. Okay? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Did you hear that? Now, if you are failing in your faith, can you go back and look at Israel and see what they did wrong and now fix yourself? You say, well, fix myself. No, I ain't going to fix myself. I'm going to let Jesus do it. What am I saying that? You think we'd ever do anything without Jesus? If you fix yourself, it's because, what's there, Brad? Faith in God. So notice, did Israel in the past forget Abraham's covenant of promise and start trying to obey every bit of the law and then couldn't do it and got snared and stuck in just trying to keep the commandments? For example, have you ever sat down to read your Bible and be like, I read a chapter, I don't remember a thing, I can't. And you put it away and you're like, I'm done. It's not working anyway. Or the old-fashioned one I really love. Marty, you and I talked about this one time. This was so funny. We wait, we do our stuff all day long, and then we lay down in the bed at night, and we open our Bible, and we're out. Me and my wife joke about that. She says, I can't sleep. Read your Bible. It's amazing how the Bible can put you to sleep. The parable there is amazing. It's so true. But notice something here. Something is missing in us when we have those experiences with our Bible. What is it? We're lacking the faith. Something in the heart has not changed. We are reading our Bible built upon the need of a law. Isn't it true? If there's a law there, you know what else is there? Guilt. So how many of you have read your Bible based on guilt rather than faith? Uh-huh. Isn't that craziest thing ever? That is the worst torture in the world. Like when you have to do something based on guilt, it is torture. It's what Israel, that's how Israel lived in the Old Testament, is they lived by guilt. So think about prophecy is if God showed us how Israel failed and then he presented Christ to us and said, hey, Christ is walking by faith, join yourself to him, then all of a sudden, faith enters your heart, and little by little, that desire for the Word of God increases and increases and increases. And then it's not by guilt anymore. It's by excitement. It's by love. Isn't that awesome? So, Julie, I have a question for you. You texted me the other day and says, am I calling you too much? Now, how many times do I get that text? Not many. am I bugging you too much? No. But think about it. There was a day where you would have never texted that. You would have texted me out of guilt because I get up here and say, text me. and you said, my God, it's been 3 months since I've texted. I better text now. And you finally break down to do it, but then you don't get anything I say to you. Why? Because it's not in faith, it's out of guilt. But when it's done in faith, what happens to that conversation? Oh, it's alive, it's active, it's burning. Something is changing. So my whole thought is always to tell you to conversate, to reach out, to fellowship. But to some, that's still a commandment, isn't it? To others, it's faith. It's opportunity. It's hope. So how do you get from the Old Testament to repeat itself with life and not death? You got to connect yourself to the revelation of Jesus. And so I want to read a scripture to you that Paul says in Galatians 3, Dave, you can get there. And before you put it up, I want to say something to you about the book of Galatians, okay? Paul laid out the scriptures of faith, and then he traveled on, and other people came in and started putting a law back in place. Paul wrote this letter and said, no, I've started this in the Spirit. I am not trying to put you back under that law. And a lot of it was circumcision. Under the law, you had to be circumcised to be righteous. Paul comes in and says, no. God started way back in the Old Testament in faith. Abraham circumcised his children in faith before the law. That was a thing of the heart. So he said, we're going to circumcise your heart. And he made it by the spirit of faith, right? So he comes in but now he hears that this church in Galatia was now trying to fall back into the works of the flesh. And he writes this letter and he says, no, no, no. You which have begun in the spirit, you're not going to fall back into the flesh. I'm not going to let you. And then he teaches them how to find their way. And notice in verse 6. Well, start in verse 5, Dave. I like that. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? That's a good question. What's the answer? The hearing of faith. Verse 6 says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Stop right there for a second. Brad, notice what it says. Even as. What is that set up for the next verse? Even at, right, Dave. If he says, even as Abraham, he's about to compare it to somebody else. As will be the same as Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God, he's about to say, just as Abraham did, if you do, will you be righteous? Next verse says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Did he say what I just said? They that are of faith, they that believe God the way Abraham did, are the children of Abraham. Well, guess who Abraham is connected to? Jesus. Because Abraham birthed Jesus. Didn't he? Or not? Are we debating over whether it was Isaac or Jesus? Is that what we're doing? You guys still in the flesh? Huh? After I've been teaching faith? Come on now. I know the man Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. I get it. But down in this chapter, did you realize that that's why Paul addressed the idea that says Abraham, it didn't say he had seeds, plural. He had one seed, which is who? Christ. So who did Abraham bring forth? Christ. So if you're Abraham's children, what are you? Well, this is that happy moment. This is that moment where you say, happy dance. Yeah. This is that moment where you say, ah, the light just came on. I am the light of the world because I'm Abraham's children. Who did Abraham bring forth? Christ. How am I connected to Abraham? Christ. Dave, go down to verse 14. Nope, 13. Verse 13, got it? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. One more. Verse 26. Oh, 25. I'm not doing that on purpose. Verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. And if you are Christ, then what? Did that not just point blank say that if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Now, what connects you to Abraham? Christ. Jesus Christ. Abraham was of the old, but is he represented in the new as well? Yeah. Why do you think they go to Abraham's bosom? See, because you're connected by Christ. And so if Abraham believed God and was righteous, if you believe God, what will you be? Jesus believed God and he was the righteousness. He lived by faith. What are you going to do? You're the children of Abraham. You're the children of God. So you're connected. So what do you think happens? Now, let me end with this today. I'm not going to spend a long time. How many of you remember Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 6? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 says, you can put it up there, Dave. Isaiah 6, 1 says that he beheld the glory of the Lord. Is that what it says? Look at it. What's it say? I saw the Lord. What? The glory of the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. Did he behold the glory? This was Isaiah, right? This was Isaiah. And let me see, Dave, down in verse, where, let me find it. Now I got to get to it since I'm so eager to speak it. Isaiah 6 and verse 7. Oh, yeah. No, verse 8, I'm sorry. Remember when the coal was laid on his mouth and God anointed him and healed his iniquity? Remember that? And he said in verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed and understand not, and see indeed but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Now, isn't it interesting? Who is he talking to? Isaiah. But who is he really talking to? Matthew 13, Jesus shows up and says what? Does he repeat this exact prophecy? Dave will put it up there for you. Remember when they ask him, why do you speak to them in parables? Remember that? What was his answer, guys? Ah, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But unto them it is not given, right? Remember that? I think verse around 13 or so. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. They have closed their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, heal with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now hold on. The original prophecy was to Isaiah, but it's showing up in the time of Jesus? Does that guarantee, Brad, by the idea that prophecy was and is to come, does that guarantee that you will have to deal with that same thing? How many of you have had eyes that couldn't see and ears that couldn't hear? Now, here's else what I want to ask you. How many of you have had the man of God in you, like Isaiah? How many of you have ever perceived that in the dream of Isaiah, that was the Lord Jesus, and that Jesus would need to be sin free when he walked in the flesh? So how do you think you're walking sin free in the flesh? Put a coal on your lips and heal you. Do you think that represents how Jesus walked in the earth? It sure does. He proved it by when he spoke in righteousness and those around him couldn't see or hear. He fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. Isn't that amazing? So it's talking about Jesus there. So it's not just talking about Isaiah. You know how I knew that? You know how I learned that? How do you think? I was in the spirit experiencing it. Because the minute I was in the dream in Isaiah being healed, the dream changed and I was in Jesus. And I knew he's talking about Jesus in Isaiah 6. That's what God showed me in a dream. And he taught it to me. What does that now tell me today for you and I? That in me is that same spirit of Christ and that same Pharisee that is speaking against the word of God. Do you think that exists in you too? So what are you not going to count yourself as? Oh. Now, is that true, Megan? Is it true you're not going to count yourself as the Pharisee? What about you, Don?
True.
True. Because we just read the last verse. What was the last verse? What did it say?
Blessed are your eyes,
for they what?
See.
They see. Wait, you're a seer? Nancy, you're a seer? What is a seer in the Bible?
A prophet.
So what do you think prophets do? They see and perceive everything that God says. So if we put you in prophecy, we're putting you in a seer. We're putting you in the seeing, the hearing, the doing. So if I put you in prophecy or Rick puts you in prophecy, he's putting you in the revelation of the seer, the revelation of the doer. Are we in prophecy?
Yes.
Okay, so now let's sort it out. Sort it out. The Pharisee is in you, but the Christ is in you too. The hearer, the doer, the seer, he's there, right? By the spirit of prophecy. But also, all those thoughts you deal with that are rejecting God, opposing the truth, denying God, that's there too, isn't it? Is that the thought that is trying to stop you from reading your Bible, from being faithful to God, from coming to church, from fellowshipping one with another, from paying your tithes and offerings and giving unto the Lord in all things? Is that the same spirit that wants to do that? It sure does. What are we going to do? We're going to live by faith and we're not going to listen to it. We're going to cast it out of heaven. Our heaven. Right on. Isn't that awesome? I think you're getting the point. Prophecy here
continually repeats itself. I don't care if it is, it says Israel as if Israel is another nation that is separate from us. Because if you're still thinking physical, then Israel is across the sea. And here we are in America as Gentiles. But I'm going to tell you something. God has erased that whole idea and said, be born again. Now, what's that make you? One new man in Christ Jesus. Is that new women, new men, new children of God? Oh, you bet it is. So we erase the idea of that, and we bring into our life the mindset of prophecy was and is to come, and then you fulfill everything God gives you. So we're on a journey to learn what was, what is, and what is to come. That's the story. So you're part of the story, right? Okay, now as you go, I want you to examine one thing. Remember a couple weeks ago I asked you to examine your thoughts? How many of you did that? Okay, let me try this again. Consider your thoughts. I want to add something to it. When you consider your thoughts, consider was, is to come, and consider your thoughts and where they fit into the story. If your thoughts are an opposer of God, don't be afraid to fit it into the story, because you'll need to learn that. But when you're in faith and believe in God, put yourself in the story and join yourself to what God is doing. And then learn. And once you learn what doesn't work, what will you do? You'll do what works. You know why? Why? Why will you deny what doesn't work and do what does work? Why? Thank you. That's the answer I wanted to hear. You love God. So when God shows you what doesn't work, Nancy, what are you going to stop doing? You're going to stop doing what doesn't work, and you're going to love God, right? Isn't that awesome? That's exciting, man. Any questions for me today? Comments, questions? Yeah.
So in all that you're saying is that our thoughts are in like a depth, and that works. And that's why when we like even read the Bible and stuff, as you were joking about falling asleep, because our thoughts are still asleep and we're not reading it and taking it as it's actually us and our story and being alive to us.
Very good. Absolutely. Because when we read the Bible, we read it as something other than us. And I'm saying read your Bible as if it's joined to you. You're part of that story. Prophecy puts you in the Bible. And you say, where am I at? Where am I at in the Bible? Well, look at prophecy. Was, is to come. You're in the Bible in all of those events. In all of those characters, you're in it. Because it's the story repeats itself, so now it's your turn. It's your turn. So when you read that Israel got delivered from Egypt, you start remembering Egypt, huh? That's a place of bondage, oppression. Is God delivering me out of bondage? Yes. And you start looking for Moses. You start looking for him, because he's in there. His words are there. You look for Jesus, and you look for that Christ, and you look for those disciples, and you look for those apostles. You look for them. They're there. Makes sense, right? You'll do it by faith at that point. The Bible's not boring. It is alive. It is alive, man. Trust me, I know. Every day, every night, alive. Who else? Any questions? Help us out. Tell us what it was.
Well, right what you just said there answered my question. My question was going to be, Daniel, that you told us to give ourselves to the thought of where your thoughts are at. But it's funny because we always seem to go towards the negative side there and place our thoughts as, oh, we're the Pharisee or we're this. But you just told us that, hey, that's okay to put it there, but find Moses. It's all right if you're Israel. But you have a word of the Lord to deliver you, so find it and let that story be true in on all aspects.
There you go.
I appreciate that answer.
No, that's a big, big deal right there. Big emphasis, okay? Find the word of God in you. Because you can't deal with that stuff on your own, can you? Well, I have no faith. I have no desire. Well, how are you going to overcome that? You got to have a somebody there in a Christ idea to overcome it, right? Find that. Anybody else? Yeah.
You can't doubt it. So even if you did have, if you didn't believe, seeing it presented that way, it's so true. It's so consistent. And it just shows over and over the same thing. And there's always a, you know, an overcoming, and then there's a deliverance, and then there's Jesus. I mean, it's fantastic.
It is. I agree. It is probably. Because with her comment about how consistent the Bible is with was and is to come, I was studying the book of Revelations one time a few years ago, and I was asking the wrong questions. I was very into it, but I kept trying to manipulate the scripture almost in my mind to try to make it fit because, well, we have our own ideas about God, don't we? So we try to make the Bible fit. The Lord actually visited me in several dreams. Every night he visited me in a new dream and interpreted Revelation for me. Every night. And the first dream he gave me, you know what it was? He corrected the mindset, Brad. Was, is to come. When you know that, you know it all. Yeah. Yeah, you're a know-it-all. You know all the secrets because the mindset of was and is to come is how the whole Bible, how God thinks, how he operates in the whole story is built on that one principle. It helped me so much that I began to read the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible just so clearly and smoothly because I never put the wrong expectation on it, okay? So that means was, and is to come eliminates time. It means that Jesus could show up at any time, at any place, and be one with the Word. That's what that means. Pretty cool, huh? Everybody good? Okay. Okay.